Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The lineup, Lindor, Soto, Pete, 1-2-3, Winker in the four spot, DH, Vientos, 5, Nimmo, who did not start last night after the massive RBI explosion before that. But he have a stomach bug. I know he pinched it and he didn't do anything there. I think he played a little defense, but he's back in there today. Torrens, McNeil, Taylor in center, Senga on the mound. All right, you know, listen, Hoff asked us a while ago, like, will Juan Soto hit his first Mets home run before the end of this homestand? You got one more chance to do it, buddy, because it's three on the road in St. Louis and then three out, I believe it's out west in Arizona, and then they get back on Friday, May 9th, that it's the Cubs and the Pirates. So after today, they hit the road there for six. I mean, I understand it. Trust me, when Sal's saying he wants to see his hurt, I get it. I appreciate the honesty that we finally got to on the show the other day from callers, from all of us. It's like, stop tap dancing around it. Met fans. Yes, you love the fact that you guys are off to a blistering start. Of course, you love the fact that Pete's having an MVP season. Lindor's looking really good. Acuna's looked pretty good. He's getting healthy. The rotation's been sick. All the things, although the Minter injury's not good. But all the things that you have enjoyed so far, you've enjoyed, but you haven't. And this really was Sal's point, to defend Sal. I think some of you hijacked it. It was never about, not to talk for him, but I know what he said and I know what he meant. So it was never about will Soto hit. It's never about is he going to play better. Everybody believes he will. Now, there's varying degrees of what that will be. I don't think he's ever going to have a great first year with the Mets, but I can promise you he's not hitting 244 or wherever he's doing right now. But Met fans, and it's okay to admit this, want to just make our life miserable from a Yankee fan perspective. Now, I don't really get involved in this. I really don't. I tell you guys, I get home. I'm at a ball field almost every single night from late March until, I mean, really, till football camp starts for the kids. Basically August. So I get home. You know, I'm not doing anything during the week outside of that. I'm very family-oriented. I come back. I watch the Yanks. I watch the Mets. We eat, you know. But I don't really jump on, so I read it, but I don't jump on social media at night. So, even if there's some zings that come my way, oh, Soto had three home runs tonight, suck it, Met Yankee fan, whatever. Great. But I know many of you are waiting to do that. You are waiting to unload digitally on your boys. Let's face it, that's part of the satisfaction. So, of course, when you got Soto, I mean, that was the satisfaction enough. Like, we just took, and this was the story. We just took, from Mets perspective, Juan Soto from the big bad, big paycheck, aura-inspiring and inducing, legendary, you know, platinum organization, New York Yankees. How does that feel? Well, I mean, I admit it kind of sucked. You know, it stung. Although 15 years is crazy, but yeah, not good. I manned up with that. Not good. I remember seeing that in my bed. Was it a Sunday night? I think it may have been a Sunday night. And I'm laying there, and like the tone changed, and I'm like, suddenly doesn't look right, feel right. And then the next thing I know, Soto signs, and then I see these knuckleheads going nuts on the Rico, Sal, Hoff, Evan. I think Loogie was on there. All four just nut jobs, as they should, reveling, right? That was the first part. But you want more. Yeah, the wins are good, but you want to stick it to the Yankee fan. And don't say that you don't. Don't say that you don't. I mean, I'm sure there's a small percentage that doesn't really care about that. You know, the very mature side. But let's face it. How mature are we as sports fans? Not very. It's a rhetorical question. So anyway, I know you're waiting on that. Hoff, but this is baseball. And I'm watching Soto last night. His first about, I think Lindor was on. Yeah, Lindor had a leadoff double. And he absolutely smashes one. You know what the exit velo was with that ball to right field? 113. He's going to hit. I just hope he doesn't go yard today. I do want to see it stretch. I ain't lying to you. Hoff, you were off yesterday. I told Sal. I said, I want to see the Mets win. I want both the Yanks and the Mets to be in the playoffs and have a chance at the Subway Series. I always say that. But you bet your ass I want to see offers for Soto. I'm not going to hide that. Like, that part. I'm not going to engage in the text chats and the WhatsApp with my buddies. I don't really care. But no. You better believe, like, when I bust out my phone, all right, the Mets are up 4-1. Oh, they scored some runs. What did Soto do? Nice. Soto, no hits yet. Awesome. Okay, good. Yeah, I admit it.
I'm going to say something that's going to piss off a lot of Mets fans. First of all, I asked you if he would hit a home run by May 1st.
And what did I say?
And you said no.
No, you said yes.
Yeah, you said yes. And I didn't think so, personally speaking. So it's the deadline is passed. It's over. It's not.
I thought it was the end of the homestand.
Well, no, the end of April. The end of April. Meaning there was like four games left or whatever it was. Okay. That being said, they have one more game today, whatever. Yep. To me, he went April without hitting a home run at Citi Field. I think it's kind of a big deal. Mm. That being said, I am very happy he didn't hit it yesterday. And there's one reason why. Because Sean Marash was in the stands.
Yeah.
He was at the
game.
He's
going to a lot of Met games this year, Sean. Is he?
No, it's the first one he went to.
No, it's not?
Yes, it is.
I thought it was. I thought he went with you.
No, he wasn't there that day. That's the reason why I went. That being said, though.
This is his first one. I thought
he put a major bet on it. And I don't mean to touch anybody's money at all. But he put a major bet on it because he was in the house.
Okay.
And I said, and to me, that's me saying, we're not giving you that satisfaction. That's where the Met-Yankee stuff comes in for me. I'm not giving you, the Yankee fan, satisfaction of you being in the building, putting a bet down, and getting Soto to hit his first home run. That ain't happening. He'll hit it today when you're not there, when the Yankee fan is not there. He'll hit it today.
Do you know how much he put down? You said a size of it?
I heard it was a nice, it would have been a nice profit if he hit.
So what was it? Let me just...
He put it on social media. I can't remember what it was.
All right. If you can find it, I'd love to know. I don't really do player props too much, but I would say, let me take a guess here. I mean, Soto to go, no home runs yet. What are they, 12, 14 games at home, something like that?
Yesterday was the 15th game.
All right. So, they were 13-1 before last night, 13-2 now. Yeah, 15. That's true. So going into last night, I mean, that's 14 games without going yard in Queens. I would have to say plus 425?
Plus 440.
Oh, damn. What a guess.
And he put a 50 spot down.
He did? Nice. Yeah. Okay, that's a couple
and,
hundred.
And no offense, Sean, but I'm happy you lost.
Yeah. Now, but here's the thing. I got something for you. I can understand that reaction. But what, and we'll never know the answer, but hypothetically, I'd like to know your answer. If I told you that if he would have gone and hit a home run last night, that would propel him to player of the month in May. And because he didn't, now this might languish into, you don't know what you get in May.
What's more important? How about this? Let's put it this way. If they would have won a game yesterday, if they would have walked off yesterday with Juan Soto's home run, I would have said it's worth the money going to his pocket.
Okay.
If it was just a game that they're going to lose, not worth it.
Yeah, and we thought he had a chance to walk it off Pete had a chance to walk it off, right, when they walked Soto. Yep, for sure. All right, 888-808-1019. Yeah, the Yankee met Soto stuff. Never fully in the rearview mirror. Let me read something for you before I get right back to the calls. Jason Wirth, you know Jason Wirth. Here's what he said. I don't know where he said it. I don't really care. Quote, if you live in New York, you have a choice. You have an obvious choice. You can either be a fan of one of the most storied franchises, one of the greatest franchises in sports history, or the Mets. I have no respect for people that pick the Mets. All right. I got to stand up for the Mets here, the Met fan. First of all, we could have our fun, but when an outsider starts to infringe on who we are, now we all become one. Here's what this clown's missing. All right, Jay. When you pick your fandom, all right, I can promise you the overwhelming majority. I'm not saying there aren't some cherry pickers, some Johnny-come-latelys. When you choose your fandom, you are young. When you are young, you really don't calculate, you know, the story, the aura, the championships. You generally react to something that is so trivial and so stupid. Or, of course, your dad, your grandfather. I mean, that's usually how it goes. But I told you guys the story how I became a Jets fan. I would just happen to be walking down the basement. True story. I'll try to make it quick, even though I usually can't make things quick. I go a little long. We just redid the basement. Sunday meal. My mom was making, you know, the meatballs and everything else. I went down to wash my hands. I guess my dad had just put a TV in the basement, which was just beginning to get a little furnished. I walk by the TV. The Jets are playing. I'm like 7 years old, maybe six. The Jets are playing at Chase Stadium. Baseball was the only thing I really knew at this point. Love baseball. I'm like, that's my team. Like, somewhere in my brain, I processed that's the football team that I love because they're playing on a baseball field. That's why I became a Jets fan. I promise you. Well, actually, I don't. I gravitated to that because of the baseball field. I was going to say, if I walked by and the Giants were playing on that horrid turf, would I become a Giants fan? I don't think so. I really think the reason I became a Jets fan is really just because of the baseball field. Anyway, so sometimes something like that happens, you know. But you become a fan because it's passed on down to you. You know, I know, and we've talked about this a lot, like there are people in the tri-state area. Yes, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Keith's a real fan. Like, he at least keeps it real. He destroys the Cowboys more than he props them up. Like, he's honest about them. So, but there are, and Cowboy fans are guilty of this, you know. It's just, they're like, they haven't won since the mid-90s. They haven't won since the Yankees won their first championship, what, 96? I mean, most Cowboy fans have a very unreal, like Skip Bayless still thinks the Cowboys matter. They don't matter at all right now. I got news for you. And the false elevation drives me nuts. You get a lot of, you know, the remnants of the 80s with Marino, some Dolphin fans in the tri-state area. Gio's a Viking fan. I'm not sure why. I don't know how that started. I'm curious. Either way, I think Jason Wirth's premise is idiotic. That's what I think about that. Quote, Hoff, I know you're on the phone. If you live in New York, you have a choice. You can have an obvious choice. Either be a fan of one of the more storied franchises ever, one of the greatest franchises in sports history, or the Mets. I have no respect for people that pick the Mets. So what this guy's telling us, that he's got no respect for six-year-old boys and girls who become Met fans because Santa brings them a Lindor jersey, or Grandpa brings them to their first game, or Daddy buys them a Pete Alonso glove. That's so stupid.
He's just playing a role. I mean, he played with the Nats and the Phillies, so he faced us a lot. He can't say anything but that. He can't say I don't know how was it presented to him. Why was he even asked?
I don't know, and I don't care. Well, I'm just reacting to what he wrote.
Listen, Jason Worthless is what we called him. He signed one of the biggest contracts as a Philly, and it was had zero impact in the game whatsoever. He was not very good. Overrated. I mean, he was a step above Anthony Rendon with the overrated contract. But that being said,
look at you coming with smoke. Listen, I like you. You're not wrong, dude.
Jason Worthless, as Steve Summers would say, is a waste of time and a waste of breath. And good for him for having a moment, because no one knows about him except that he plays softball now. I mean, seriously, he's a nobody.
Is the hair still long?
No, his hair is not as good. Jesse Winker's hair blows his out of the water. Syndergaard, when DeGrom had his hair. I got to be honest with you, if you want to even compare that, Jason Worth wish he had the hair of guys like that, Syndergaard and Jason DeGrom and all those Mets. Come on, this guy's a troll. At best.
He does have good hair. I'm going to push back on that a little bit. It looks greasy. Pretty good. I wish I had that. It's greasy.
He's greasy. Yeah, he had greasy hair, which is fine. Yeah,
that's true. He did have the
He had the Triple H type of hair.
But the picture that I'm looking at, it's dry and it's flowing. He's got the beard. It actually looks really good.
Let me see.
Jealous. Can you see from there?
No, yeah, he got no, because I see a big P on his head. You know what that stands for?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
It's not Phillies.
What does it stand for? Petulant?
Well, I can't say.
I mean, yeah, he's having fun. It's not that serious, but... I think his premise is off. I think he just, the way he frames it is stupid. Let's get back to you guys here. How about Chief out in Cherry Hill? Chief, what's going on?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Yes, I'm just calling, you know, talking about the Yankees fans, Mets fans, the Yankees fans' perspective of Juan Soto. And I would say as follows, you know, I've always teased all my friends who are Mets fans. That they don't really root for the Mets. They really root Yankees to not succeed. And a lot of my friends have actually said that's kind of what they do because, you know, there were a number of years the Mets had no success whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that used to be the case a little bit. Not to guys like Evan. Yeah, but I get that a little, not anymore, but a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so I never had that. You know, I think I once said back on the show, maybe I think I said it to Tiki, when I was young, my father gave me one of the best pieces of advice, and he said, never root for any four-letter team that ends in ETS, Mets, Jets, Nets.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best pieces of advice he ever gave me. However, this season, I could say, I never rooted against the Mets or Jets because I could care less. But now with the whole, like we spoke about, Soto leaving and all that, yes, it is, I will say, it is, like you said before, you see the scores 4-1. Oh, they scored some runs. He didn't do anything. Yes, I am very happy when I see that Aaron Judge's slugging percentage is higher than Juan Soto's OPS.
100%.
Yes, it makes me, I'm thrilled.
Absolutely.
You burned our team.
Hell
we're
yeah.
Going to get rid of it. But it's not that like, oh, I did, you know, I can't stand the Mets. Yes, you don't want to be on our team for whatever the reason, the money, this, that.
Yep.
I am glad that he is not playing so well.
Man,
I'll
me
just
too.
Say it straight up.
Me too. Come on, man. I think you have to be if you're a Yankee fan. I don't. The only other thing is to be emotionally uninvested. And I think that that's impossible. I think that it's going to get that way over time. A little more, a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. You know, as he gets further and further away from the Yankees and more entrenched with the Mets. Now, if he never wins with the Mets or, you know, so he doesn't have the career people think that he will or should, there's varying layers here, but. Of course you're rooting for him to struggle. There's no doubt about it. Yes. Anthony's down in Florida on the free Odyssey app. What up, Ant?
Hey.
No.
Hi, how are you? Sorry about that.
It's okay. What's up, Ant?
No, you know, I'm a Mets fan, and I do kind of pull for the Yankees as well. My dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, so that inherently, you know, became the Mets for me.
Yeah.
But my uncle was a massive Yankee fan from the Bronx, a master chess player as well.
Wow.
And he was a huge Mickey Mantle fan. I mean, forget it.
Yeah, who wasn't?
So I couldn't root against the Yankees, you know?
Okay. Okay.
So anyway, to transcend to now, I'm watching Soto, right? And I watched a number of Yankee games last year. He seemed last year to be so much more locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the Soto shuffle,
oh.
I don't know if he felt more intensity at Yankee Stadium, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But there's a clear difference between his focus and even like the way he would peer at the pitcher and do the whole Soto shuffle thing. He's not doing that at all.
I don't know what happened to the shuffle.
You know, there was an article actually
We read it. The Athletic,
yeah,
I think. We had it on.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
And he said,
I ain't feeling it.
You know, eventually it'll happen.
I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, dropping out a little bit here. Yeah, we talked about that. Thank you for the call, by the way. So we even played the Curly Shuffle. We even played a little bit of the Lido Shuffle. That's a good song. Might have to come up with some lyrics for the old Soto Shuffle.
He missed the boat that day he left the shack.
I got to come. See, it's tricky, though, because they stuff a lot of words into a short amount of space, which is going to be tricky. You know, Soto swung the bat that day he missed the ball. You know, that's a good start, actually, to keep an eye on that. Let me get Patrick in West Islip. Patty, what's up, Pat?
Hey, what's going on, BT, my fellow Rolling Roaster buddy? I called you last year about that.
Edmonds Avenue, baby. Go ahead.
That place is great. Anyway, you talk about Jason Worth. There's an interesting documentary on Netflix about him. He got into horse racing, and last year, the first horse he bought won the Belmont Stakes. And so you want to see, like, he's in a good part of it. It's like a six-part series. And also Mike Rapoli's in it, too. And it shows Mike Rapoli he's a badass, you know, like the way he's a typical Queens guy. But it's interesting if you want to see, like, if you think, what's his name, Worth is, like, you know, like kind of like douchey. Well, he's kind of douchey in this documentary. Like, you know, like just now, you know, goes out, buys one horse, and he won the Belmont Stakes with it, which is
I didn't even know he was in. Yeah, I don't. It's funny. I never really got into the horse game. Thanks, Pat. Like, my dad used to go to training. My dad used to go to OTB all the time. This is how different society is. I mean, a million ways. But, I mean, I remember as a kid, like, yeah, we could be coming back from anywhere. A baseball game, basketball practice, you know, going to get paint or a new garbage can, like you name it. I would always Saturday drop it off clothes at the cleaners, getting the newspapers, going to the diner. Like, I was always in the car with my dad, always. And a lot of times it was just the two of us. I mean, not, I mean, family trips. It was all four of us. But like, I was just Robin. I was just with him. I loved it. And he would always, and I'm talking like I'm 7, 8 years old. All right, I'll be right back. Just lock the doors. He'd leave me in the car and go to OTB. Now, he wouldn't be in there very long. But could you imagine? Today? No. But he loves the horses. That never hit me. I know Moose loves them. I know Sal enjoys going up to Saratoga once a year. You know, and I've gone, you know, to some events. I've been at the Belmont, you know. My wife and I met at a Kentucky Derby party. And I just never got into the horse game. I didn't. So I didn't see it. I don't know about, you know, if he comes across as douchey, whatever. I'm just saying Jason Worth in the cut or in the quote about the Met Yankee fandom, he just sounds out of touch, but whatever. Hoff hit me with something that definitely challenges my math skills. And even as I plotted through it, it's honestly one of the more fascinating things that I think he's ever asked on the show. And I don't know my answer. So I'm going to present it to you. And it's about Judge, and it's about Alonso. So right now, Pete, who got a base hit his first time up, right? But he, based on entering the game. Enter the game hitting 343. Aaron Judge enters, actually off today, is hitting 427. So the way Pete framed it, at the end of the year, which player is closer to their current average? Okay. So I'm like, huh. All right, that, it just seemed like it took me a while to even find. I'm like, all right, I got you. It definitely took me a second to get it. And let's see. Well, Judge, who's hitting 427, if he were to finish it, say, 360. I picked an arbitrary number, 360, boom. That's 67 points off of where he's at now, 427. And Pete, you know, I'm going to adjust based on past performances, based on overall talent, whatever. Pete at 343, I just picked 280. Even though he maybe could be a tick higher, but 280 for him would be, what, something like 67 points off the mark, I think. 67 or 63, whatever it is. It's in the neighborhood between 65 and 70 for each guy. So do I think, basically what it comes down to simplify this out, do I think it's going to be Judge hitting 360 or Pete hitting 280? Now, Pete could hit 290 and Judge could hit 373. I don't know. First, let me let you answer it since you posed the question. What is your opinion right now? Which player will finish closer to their current average, which are off the charts?
I think, personally speaking, Pete will be close to it because they're still going to drop about 100 points. Like, the Judge last year hit 322, which was phenomenal. He's batting 427. Like, even if he drops off like 75 points, it's going to be, because I don't think he's going to bat 350. I don't think he's going to bat 340. I think he's going to significantly drop down. We were talking about it. If he has a bad streak of over 30.
Over 30, I asked you to calculate this.
Pete Alonso, I don't think he's going to get 280. 280 to me is way too high for him. But I think he'll be closer to the 260 mark. So I think they're both going to fall off closer to 100 points, closer
uh-huh.
to it.
Uh-huh.
And I think at the end of the day, it's just 260 is less than the 320. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think Judge has an opportunity to be great. I think he's going to come closer to dropping off closer to 100 points
yep.
from here.
I see how you got there. I would go the other way. I don't agree with either. I think that Pete has a chance to be higher than that. And I think really Aaron has a chance where we look back, it's going to be like one of those freak shows where you go to Baseball Reference and you see like 359 staring at you, 363. I mean, the one thing about, listen, we talk about Judge and we know his approach and he's refined it over the years, you know, 322 a year ago, whatever it was.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
So it's not like this is out of nowhere, but Pete Alonso's changed his approach too. And I was listening to Keith talk about this last night where, you know, he's usually 2-1 strikeouts to walks He's 1-1. I don't know where. I think he's like one more walk or one more strikeout than the other, which is not Pete Alonso. Now, you can very easily say, well, that's all right, maybe it's a bit of an outlier start. I don't think it is because of the where he's hitting the ball, the way he's taking some tough, you know, some of that soft stuff away that he used to go at. Like, he just looks like he's changed his approach, and it looks like it's more in line with how he used to hit when he had a 270 to 260.
I got
to
be honest, and I'm not comparing him to David Wright at all, but it reminds me of the when David Wright used to get in his first year or second year, he was the best 0-2 hitter in baseball. If he got an 0-2 pitch on him, he'd find a way to work the count and either get a base hit or get a walk, whatever it is. Alonso is much closer to that these days because, like yesterday, he walked a 3-2 pitch. They're throwing him that cheese outside. They're throwing him stuff that he would chase last year.
Yep.
He's not touching. He's not even close to touching
it. Well, that's why I say, and again, I know I like to get some like deep in the numbers sometimes. Sometimes it's boring for some people. But that's why I said the way he's taken pitches this year.
Right.
Like, you want to see a good hitter? Watch how he takes a pitch. There's no flinch. There's no jump. Like, he's seeing it early, and he's reading it early. So my answer is Judge, but it could be close.
Can I just say one thing? Because, sure. Again, I've heard people now reference Judge and Barry Bonds.
What is it? Who's eating? I smell food all of a sudden. What's going on?
I don't know, but our door is wide open. Yours is closed, so you shouldn't smell it. So
I do, though.
It's through the vent.
Oh, got it.
Through the vent.
It's not Dove Stew. He didn't open it up yet.
All right. What are you going to say, Hop?
Next break.
But Barry Bonds, at age 37, hit his highest batting average, which was .370. The year prior, he was .328. Is this people saying that Aaron Judge is on that Barry Bonds type of year right now?
Yep.
I mean, if that's the case, then we're talking about that jump where .322 to .370 isn't that much.
I don't think it's that much. Now, the only thing is, what did Bonds, how many home runs did he have that year?
That was 46, 110, and I forget how many walks he had.
Oh, yeah, no, Aaron's healthy. Aaron's flying by certainly 46 and certainly 110.
The year before he batted .328, he had 73 home runs.
Yeah, that's what he's Judge, he's, you know, listen, 10's amazing, but yeah, he's not hitting 73 home runs. So, you know, he's learned. He's one of these guys who's gotten better later in his career in terms of, like, I mean, some guys come out and they flash crazy power, like a young Darryl. But Darryl never really refined his approach. He was always, you know, 250, 260, and like that kind of average around there. But this is not like out of nowhere for Judge. He's been this kind of hitter for a while. Kevin's in West Islip. Kev, BT and Sal, how you doing?
Hey, Brandon, how you doing, pal?
Good. What's going on?
Just real quick, I just wanted to shout out that I actually, when I first listened to you about 4 or 5 years ago, wasn't really thrilled, but you've really grown on me, like, both with your sports knowledge, your passion, and your takes. Like, I gotta give you props for that. You're really cool,
that.
Dude.
Thank you, man. That's cool. You know what? Really cool, first of all, and there's a lot of people who disagree, and that's fine. But like, yeah, so like, I think the easiest thing is like when somebody likes you from the get go, and that's awesome. But when somebody's like, nah, I don't like this dude, but then you stick with it, and you give it a shot. That's what means. That really means a lot. So thanks for saying that, man.
No problem. You and I gotta tell you, I'd love to see you paired up with Keith. By the way,
partner.
Well, I don't want to talk about him right now.
Hey.
I'm not gonna get there. Not gonna go there.
Keep it moving.
Keep the call positive. So listen. I think it's really simple. Everybody's like, nobody's looking at the elephant in the room with Soto. Now, I'm not a Met fan. I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm actually a Reds fan, but more of both a Met and Yankee fan, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this, as Evan would say, an independent objective observer, whatever he calls it.
Yeah, what is that acronym? I've heard him say it. Yeah, I know what
you're talking about. So Soto has always been about the money. Always. Mm-hmm. He's got his money. Yeah. He's complacent. That's it. It's not about the Bronx. It's not about Citi Field. Not about the teammates. Not about nothing. Now, I'm not saying that's the answer, but why is nobody thinking that's the answer? I don't get it.
Well, number one, I think we have too much respect for the way he attacks his craft over the years. Like, if there wasn't evidence that he was just, you know, a real tactician in the box and a real, really, like, deeply into the mind games of hitting, the psychology of hitting. Like, everything about Soto, to me, from a distance, obviously, tells me that this guy opens his eyes and he's thinking about hitting. His approach, refining it, perfecting it. And that doesn't flip off. Like, I think this guy's motivation is to be a great hitter. I also think he's deeply motivated to be a better right fielder. I mean, he's talked about that. I mean, I haven't seen it yet this year. I don't know if we will. But, nah, I'm not going there. I mean, not because I'm afraid to. I just don't believe it. I think there's some guys that you can say that about. No question. I don't think he's one of them. I really, really don't.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
We get Adam in South Jersey. What's happening there, big boy? Adam, where you been, man?
I'm delivering the mail, bro. I mean, you know, I got things to do.
I got
you. Before I even get into the points here, I think I could speak for the whole New York, Jersey, Connecticut, tri-state area when I say, Sal, you're a pain in the neck. You drive us nuts, but we love you. Take care of your business. Handle everything. New York will be here when you get back. Bro.
Well said. That, so, by the way, that's a good scout report on Sal.
So listen, BT, I'm going to bang on you a little bit here, all okay? Right. Stop walking around your office like a loser, BT. Get some belief here, will you? Listen, they're a better road team than they are a home team. They have been for probably 2 years now. Yeah, I actually have confidence they're going to go to Detroit and win this game tonight. And I have confidence they're going to go handle Detroit tonight because I think they're sick of hearing everybody, including you, saying that they're not good enough. And that's what I'm laying my hat on.
Right.
I'm laying my hat on JB wrapping those ankles up, being pissed off, Cole Anthony Towns being 7-for-8 from 3 points, and the Knicks win 120-105, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Stop walking around negative. Let's go.
Adam, I love it. I honestly love it. And then when you wake up from your little dream, it's the fourth quarter. It's a two-possession game, 3 minutes to go, and it's a slop fest.
Flip a coin.
Flip a coin. All right, there it is. The call of the day, BT and Sal here. Let's get back to you guys. 888-808-1019 is the number. John's in Comac. John, what's going on, bud? You're on The Fan. How are you?
Hey, BT. How you doing?
Good.
So my point that I want to bring up, well, first of all, John Soto, he just needs his confidence back. He's going to come back. You know it. He's going to be a monster. But the lineup right now is Francisco Alvarez. I don't know. I need Torrens in there. He's more clutch right now.
He's playing today. He's playing today, Torrens.
Yep. Definitely. Let's see what happens. And then McNeil. McNeil, honestly, to me, he looks like he's an old man up there. The same ball that Acuna went after yesterday, it was the same ball that he went after in
Friday night.
And yeah. Acuna got there. We need those fresh legs, and you need Acuna in there because you got to keep that guy in the field. He's just going to be a monster. He's going to keep getting better and better. And bring Beatty back. Beatty needs to be on the field also, and you're going to see great things from him. And I think I'm done with McNeil.
Well, he's hitting .315 though, John.
Yeah, but I'm not a big stats guy, but I don't know. I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it.
No, listen, John, I hear you on McNeil to an extent. Thanks for the call. Like if McNeil's not hitting, he's really not bringing anything to the table. I mean, average to maybe slight. He's probably average speed. You know, he's got some defensive versatility for sure, but you know, he's not very bouncy. As evidenced by that play on Friday night, as soon as he got back, you got to make that play up the middle. I mean, it's not even up the middle. I mean, it's to your right to tick. I don't know. I still don't know how we didn't get that ball. That was crazy. And Acuna's looked good, you know, and I'm not surprised. With the little that I've seen last year, I'm like, I like him. I like the kid. I really do. Yeah, I mean, listen, the Mets lineup, I'm just looking at it now. You know, Lindor, Soto, Pete, it's going to be 1-2-3 all year. I think the interchangeable parts come like, or the biggest questions for me, what does Nimmo do and what kind of year does Vientos have? Vientos has shown some signs. All right, Nimmo has basically one good day and he's 0-for-1 today, so he's down to 2-14. I think Torrens is a great backup. I think if Alvarez is not doing the job, like he had an ugly at bat last night, just pretty non-competitive, just swung at a really bad pitch late and was in the dirt, if I recall. And, you know, Torrens, if he's got to start a little bit more than maybe the Mets envision, I think that that's fine. I like him. You know, Taylor in center, you know, I know he had a home run last night. I know he made the sick play the other night. You know, and he's fine. He's good if he's playing twice, but I don't want to run him out there every day. I mean, do I think that Taylor is a starting center fielder on a World Series type of team? I don't, unless the other parts are so amazing. And some of them are, but they won't be if some of the other components don't start to wake up. What happened on that play to right field to Soto? Did he just not come up throwing? Did I miss anything there, Pete? Anything that I need
to
know? No,
I just dropped in, and he was trying to deke the guy, and he just kind of ran it in rather than throw it. Nothing really crazy happened.
But did he catch it clean or no?
It wasn't a catch. It was just it was very shallow ball, so he was far away from it. So he didn't come up throwing because there was nowhere to throw.
Gotcha. But the guy went to third base, no?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a pretty shallow ball to right field. I don't know if he should be going to third base.
I think he was on second base.
Well, I thought he was on first. I know we're doing our job, so I could be off on that. Or you could be. I thought he was on first, and I thought he went first to third. I just looked up, and I saw Soto. Looked like he wanted to unleash it, but he didn't. And I saw whomever is running the bases at this point for the Diamondbacks. I thought he was
Alec Thomas was on first base.
He was on first base, yeah. All right, I got to get a look at that play again. Let me get Corey in Stanford. What's up, Corey?
Hey, BT, what's going on? You know you're my radio guy, man.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah. However.
Warnings. Yes.
When it comes to what you said about them, you know, when outsiders speaking in New York, talking about it, New York, you know, you got to come together.
Yeah.
I got to make an exception when it comes to the Mets, because Met fans, you know, they have a tradition where they go into Fenway Park and they start chanting an anti-Yankees theme. Mm. We all know what that is.
Yeah.
And I can't respect that. So when it comes to any other team except them, it just can't be.
You draw the line. You draw the line.
I draw the line, absolutely. Thanks, DC.
Oh, boy. I mean.
Let me hear your thoughts.
I feel like I disappointed you, Corey. But, I got to tell you what's in my heart here. I can't have Jason Worth, you know. Now, by the way, now let me at least delineate. Is that too big of a word? Let me distinguish between what I said. Like, it's a little separate from just the Yankee Met thing. When I talk about the Worth and his comments about getting on Met fans who choose the Mets over the Yankees, he basically said, I can't respect them. What are they doing? They're idiots. Didn't call them idiots, but basically he was saying that. All I said was most of us pick our teams when we're young, and we don't gravitate to a team because of their pedigree or because they've got 19 retired numbers. That's not how most of us operate. We either have like a favorite player catches our eye. A uniform could be something as benign as that. Obviously, you know, more dads or granddads or uncles or big brothers, whatever it might be. So I was just saying that. Yeah, listen, if you don't want to defend the Mets, that's fine by me. Pete's in... How do you say that? How do you say that?
Wanacue.
That is a tricky looking word. What's up, Pete?
It is. Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys on the air. You guys are fantastic. You and Sal have a great banner. It's a friendly back and forth, so I really enjoy your show a lot. But
thank you.
I called to discuss Mikal Bridges, but in the meantime, I'm going to go on a tangent. You might get irked by this, but I am a Met fan. Okay. Also roots for the Yankees. A little bit about how I did this. I grew up in the 60s. I saw Tom Seaver. My dad used to put me in front of the TV. So I loved the Mets. But my dad loved the Yankees. I could never root against his team. So I'd sit there, and if he liked the Yankees, I was happy if he was happy.
Okay.
So I never got to see the big bag Yankees, Mickey Mantles, and he used to tell me we're Cuban. So he said, I used to see Louis Tiant in Cuba. Yeah. I used to see Lasorda. So he brought me up watching sports as a very young kid. So I saw Clyde Frazier when I was barely, you know, 7, 8 years old.
Wow.
So I probably became a fan of the Mets. And he forced me to watch the Olympics. He said, this is every 4 years. So my dad really brought me up in sports, and that's how I became a fan. And because I'm a local guy, believe it or not, I love the Knicks, but I like the Nets too.
Pete, stop.
I know, it's crazy.
You put me in a tough spot, Pete. You put me in a tough spot. Because every instinct in my radio and my sports fandom body wants to bite your head off right now. And I want to annihilate you. But how can I do that when your dad sounds like such an awesome guy?
Well, listen, aren't we New Yorkers? Shouldn't we root for our teams? I'm not going to root for the Dodgers or the guys in the West. But plus, by the way, I saw the red, white, and blue basketball with Dr. J.
Yeah.
That was and a little black and white TV. Wow. And I said, this guy is crazy with his big afro. My dad said, watch the Buescher and Clyde and these guys. I admired the Dr. J. I said, this guy's crazy. Look at his long arms. And so he jumped off the gym. So I became a fan of that.
Is your dad still alive? Your dad still with us?
No, unfortunately, he passed a couple years ago.
I'm sorry, man. I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's tough. I mean, I like what I like. Between the two, I'd rather have the Knicks and I'd rather have the Mets. But I say I don't have a problem with the Nets having a successful year. Good yep. for them. I don't have any ill will towards any Net fans or Yankee fans.
Oh, now hold on. Hey. Now, Pete, we're getting a little nuanced here. I respect that, but that's different than rooting for both. Like, you cannot hate the other. But rooting? Let me ask you this. Here's the best way to ask. The Net yeah. one's the one that got me. So I know you're a Knick guy. I get it. Knicks are on the West Coast, and the Nets are playing whomever, and you're flipping through. Boom. Yes, Network. Oh, wow, the Nets are on. Oh, wow, they're playing the Bulls. Oh, wow, the Nets are up by 12. You stick with the game, and you're happy that the Nets are winning, or are you just like...
I'm happy. Why not? I actually go to the Net games with my buddies here. Dude, I go to Yankee games with my buddies here.
You're making it worse, enjoy the sport. I'm trying to get you off the hook here, Pete. Thanks for the call. I'm trying to give you a chance to spit the bit. And he's just sucking it down even more. Now he's telling us he's going to Net games, Petey. Pete. What do you want me to say? I think what I'm going to say is with Peter, based on the way he went into how he was introduced to sports, I'm going to give him something I really don't do almost ever. I'm going to give him a pass.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.